for, you know, 10, 11 months, we had no sunspots. The Earth got very, very cold in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we saw snow in the southern parts of the United States. And we talked about this in the last show. But what started to happen is we got a really, really cold Earth. And when you take anything that's really cold and suddenly expose it to strong magnetic fields or heat, you get a very violent reaction, as opposed to, you know, exposing a very warm object to sudden heat. A very warm object being exposed to sudden heat, it wouldn't be that violent. But because we got so cold, it was very easy to predict all of the disasters. And I'm going to show many of them, including going back to the Asian tsunami of 2004. So the sun on September 28th, 2009, this is actually just before our last show, we had the first major sunspot activity. You get three types of dangerous, potentially dangerous phenomena in the sun. You get black spots, magnetic spots, and sunspots. Sometimes when you get a strong magnetic spot, there is no sunspot. The sun is spinning around counterclockwise every 27 days. So when these things come into near or direct alignment to Earth, every single time, and I have done this on Facebook, and I've also sent Lisa Lyon, the producer over there, you know, CC'd her and all the emails. And I've also CC'd emails to my friend Dennis, who works at Boeing on the International Space Station, and many other scientists, so I can prove that I actually made the predictions. So what happened on September 28th, 2009, was we got the earthquake in American Samoa and the tsunami that killed hundreds of people there. But then, since our last show, I saw a very large spot rotating into position on the northern hemisphere of the sun. And sure enough, I mean, this is a really big one. I'm looking at the actual photograph right now. It was January the 12th, and it was directly Earth-facing. And these things don't necessarily have to produce a coronal mass ejecta. They don't have to do that. They just have to be Earth-facing and powerful to get an effect. Now, to explain how this effect occurs, this is very, very simple, Einstein. It is the photoelectric effect. When you get a strong burst of electromagnetism, or, you know, a charged electromagnetic energy, which is light, basically, invisible and visible light, when that light, Einstein said, hits a conductor, metal, or even ordinary rock, it causes electrons to flow. And the stronger that charge is, the faster the electrons flow, and they produce heat. So the Earth gets very, very hot in particular spots on the planet. And when you have, you know, you have tectonic plates, and you have lava, and you have, you know, the molten core underneath the Earth, it's absorbing that, and you are going to get a reaction.
So I'm wondering if, we know Haiti got it, because that was the date.
That was the date, and that's a direct Earth-facing. And then the next big one was literally in front of 700 people. I'm telling Bob Brown at the conference, where he's looking at my computer, and I'm showing him this live. There was a million-mile-kilometer-long snake, it's called a filament, hanging out of one of these magnetic or sunspots. That when these snakes collapse, these long filaments, you can get what's called a hydroflare, which is very rare. It's an eruption on the sun. And because we don't take enough pictures, we're only taking pictures every 15 or 20 minutes with the NASA SOHO LASGO cameras, as opposed to the new NASA Solar Dynamic Observatory, which, you know, as it gets more up and running, we're going to be seeing a lot more pictures. Because of that time delay, you can miss the actual explosion. But when I saw the disappearance of the tentacle or this filament, I said, oh, my God, there must have been a hydroflare, so watch out in 3 days, because here's what happens. When the sun produces a violent eruption, the electromagnetic energy or sunlight or, you know, electromagnetic radiation, including radio waves, travels between the sun and the Earth in about 8.3 minutes. So you can see a reaction happen almost within that time frame. But the charged plasma wave takes 3 or 4 days to get here. So I said to Bob, I said, watch out. In 2 to 3 days, 3 or 4 days, something huge is coming. And sure enough, that was Chile, 8.8. And what's interesting is when these reactions on the sun are on the northern hemisphere of the sun, there's a good chance, not 100% chance, the reaction on the Earth is going to be on the northern hemisphere of the Earth. This particular reaction was on the southern hemisphere of the Earth, and that's exactly where the reaction occurred on the Sun, and conversely, that's where the reaction happened on the Earth.
So this is getting to the point where you can predict and predict.
Literally every single time. I mean, I keep going and I keep going, and I actually decided to go. I'm just going, you know, further in my little presentation in front of me here. I decided to go backwards in time and see if it was true, because it wouldn't just be, as you just read, earthquake phenomena. It would also be geothermal and then also weather patterns.
Right. And I'm wondering if Iceland, that just occurred, has anything to do with it.
Oh, absolutely. I've measured the eruptions in Iceland in the beginning. The first they had earthquakes up in there and matched it with solar activity. But when I went back to Hurricane Floyd, which September 5th to the – it actually started forming on the 5th of September, 1999. Sure enough, you have direct Earth-facing major activity. And the day it hit on the backside of the Sun, there was a huge, huge eruption, a coronal mass ejecta. But the most devastating earthquake we've seen in the past decade or so was the December 26, 2004 tsunami. And when I went back onto the Sun and the imagery from the SOHO WASCO cameras on the Sun, NASA had erased most of the other cameras, but I found the close-up camera showing the corona of the Sun. And sure enough, at 48 seconds in coming into 48 minutes universal time code into the day, there was a huge coronal mass ejecta on the Sun. I mean massive. And literally, from that time code at 48 minutes into the day, only 15 minutes later, roughly, there was the massive earthquake that happened down on the Earth. And again, Hurricane Katrina, the day it was forming, direct sunspot activity. So even recently, what we've seen just in the past week, in fact, I sent all these emails out on Facebook, I saw three coronal mass. Now, out of these magnetic spots, you don't even need to have a sunspot to get a coronal mass ejecta. And we only had magnetic spots that were directly Earth-facing, and we had actual coronal mass ejectas, and I found them on the camera. And sure enough, what happened 3 days later, two volcanoes erupted in Central America. We had Guatemala, then Ecuador, and then the next day in the Pacific, in the middle of nowhere, a volcano erupted under the ocean and spewed ash 40,000 feet into the air.
Can you predict the intensity of these events?
Well, see, this is where it gets really interesting, and that's an amazing question, is we are nowhere near solar maximum right now. We're just coming into the solar cycle, and we're seeing some of the most violent and repetitive disasters happening on the planet we've ever seen, and more frequently than we've ever seen. And there have been also a great number of earthquakes that I predicted